Welcome to the Approaching the Natural podcast with Sid Garza-Hillman and sponsored by the Stanford Inn Eco Resort on the Mendocino coast of California. Sid is a certified nutritionist, health coach, and author of Approaching the Natural, a health manifesto, out now on Roundtree Press. Sid is also the programs director at the Stanford Inn's Mendocino Center for Living Well, one of the most holistic and integrated wellness centers in the country. The Approaching the Natural podcast explores all aspects of human health, including nutrition, movement, mindfulness, art, and much more.
Welcome. This is Sid Garza-Hillman, and this is the Approaching the Natural podcast. For those of you who are just joining me, welcome. And for those of you who have caught the first two episodes and are on the third, welcome back. It's really nice to see people are listening, and the numbers are really good. I'm pleasantly surprised. I never know what happens when I throw things out into the world in this fashion, but this is really nice, and I appreciate all the support that I am receiving thus far. This week's episode, so this is episode three, and if I have to title it, which I don't, but I'm going to say it's about balance and will. And that's coming up a lot in my practice and in my whole trek with regards to the book and all this kind of stuff. It does come down to those two things. So I'm going to get into that in this episode and have that discussion. I wanted to say just a quick announcement that for those of you who don't know me, I'm the author of the Approaching the Natural, a Health Manifesto, which is out now on Roundtree Press. And I'm a certified nutritionist and health coach. And I run Transitioning to Health, and I'm also the programs director at the Mendocino Center for Living Well at the Stanford Inn Eco Resort. And the Stanford Inn Eco Resort is the sponsor of this show. So thanks, as always, to them and to all my wonderful clients who are working on their lives. And I said it last episode, I'll say it again. It's humbling to watch people want to take ownership of their own health and happiness. And I think it's very inspiring. And it's part of the reason why I do what I do. And this podcast is included in that picture. So, quick question. No, quick story. That's what I wanted to say. Quick story. So I was speaking at the San Francisco Veg Fest last weekend, which was pretty cool, and it was good. And I went down with Jeff Stanford because he did a talk on vegan travel and owning a vegan business. And then they had me asked me to come down and do a talk on Approaching the Natural, a Health Manifesto. That was the title of the talk, which is also the title of the book. So I don't know how that happened. But anyhow, it was a good talk. It was kind of a shambles, the event, and I hope that I'm not offending anybody, but I could be. But it could have been better. There was a lot of disarray, and I think part of that was the venue. I think there was some miscommunication about that because there was an orchid festival that took up a lot of the room of the venue, which was at Golden Gate Park in San Francisco. So there was an orchid festival, which was kind of amazing. I don't know much about orchids, and I wandered in there and I was like, this is way cooler than the Veg Fest, but it had orchids, a ton of them. I took a bunch of photos. They're otherworldly. Anyway, that's totally an aside, and I'm going to try eventually to wrap orchids back into the picture of health. I don't know how I'm going to do that yet, but I want you to stick with me, and then I might ask you to kind of speed up the treadmill a little bit just so we can kind of burn through that segue. But anyhow, so I'm speaking, and I just dive in. I've been doing this a while, and I'm used to speaking, and so I don't really plan things ahead. I don't outline. I kind of play off the audience and see how things are going to play out, and I work through that, and it's fun that way because then I'm not scripted, and I can kind of do what I do, and it's probably my acting background, but I'm comfortable enough to just let things fly, and then people ask questions, and it was really fun. But with that said, so I made a joke at the beginning. I said, look, can anybody tell me what, let me back up. So the Approaching the Natural Health Manifesto is not a vegan book. I want to be very clear about that. And it's not, I'm not faulting anything about anything. It is not even a nutrition book. It is certainly not a diet book. It is a philosophy of health book. Okay, I want everybody to be clear about that because I'm a certified nutritionist, it always comes back to, you know, people have thought it's a cookbook and they think that it's just a whole bunch of stuff that it's just not. It's a philosophy of health book. It incorporates everything from food to movement to mindfulness to connecting to the earth to socialization. It's this big picture of health, because that's what I believe health is. And I think when you focus on one aspect of that, you lose out. And I think you can quickly become unbalanced. So there's that balance word coming in. So I like coffee. I'm just gonna put it out there. I like coffee. I love coffee. I feel like this is very this is like a cathartic release for me to say that I love coffee, as if it's some like major thing, but it's really not. And I'm joking about that. But I really do love coffee. I always have. I roast my own beans. Honestly, I roast my own beans. But the thing is, I don't drink that much coffee. And the reason I don't drink that much coffee is because I have at times drunk a lot of coffee and it doesn't feel good. I don't feel good doing it. I get fatigued, but there's an enjoyment to my coffee consumption. I love the taste. I love a really dark roast. I always have. It's just what I do. So I made a joke at the beginning of the talk. I was like, look, can anybody here tell me if coffee is vegan or vegetarian? You know, and a bunch of people raise their hand. They're like, yeah, it's vegan, vegetarian. And I said, okay, cool. So how is it that you can't get a coffee at the SF Veg Fest? Like, why is that impossible to get a friggin' cup of coffee at a San Francisco Veg Fest? And I made a joke. It was a joke. But at the same time, the problem that I have with these kinds of events is that I believe and I feel that they are kind of exclusionary. And it's the people that go to these things are looking, and this is why I think that humanity shares a lot. I think that all of humanity shares very basic things that I wish we could focus on those things instead of all the things that separate us, but another podcast. But the people that come to these things, they want to live better. They want to look at the things in the world so that the vendors are supplying and the speakers are talking about. They want to learn interesting things, and they want to explore even if they're not vegetarian or vegan, they want to check out what that is. But at the same time, I don't even like the word vibe, but I'm gonna say it. The vibe around these things is kind of getting into the hippie thing, and I'm not anti-hippie either. I really am not anti-hippie. But, and this is going to sound like it's really about coffee, and it's 22% about the fact that I couldn't get a cup of coffee at the Veg Fest, and I had to like walk two blocks to get a cup of coffee. So there's a little anger there that I need to work through, probably in therapy. But my point is this. They make these events kind of exclusionary and kind of fringe, so that the people going to these things are, I'm almost like preaching to the choir. And my message with my book is that health is not for people who are into health. Health is not for people who happen to have the hobby of being healthy. It's not a hobby issue. You can be a doctor, a lawyer, a brain surgeon, a professional bicyclist, a shoe repairman. Health is for the human species, and that's why I always break down my approach and my philosophy to the human species, because again, what's normal for us in the modern world isn't normal for us as a species, but it's really about us as a species. And sometimes these events or sometimes these books are so limiting about who they appeal to that it becomes a thing that, like, if you don't have the right clothes or if you... So I'm, like, wearing a cowboy hat. So here's the story. So my buddy Barry Horton, he's a chef, and he was doing the dinner on Saturday night. So I went to his dinner, and he was doing it for the SF Veg Fest. So I'm sitting there, and I helped him because they were kind of... It was, again, kind of disorganized because of the Orchid Festival. Awesome Orchid. Like, I'm a total Orchid fan now. And so they had everything in one room, and it was kind of disarray. So I was helping him put out food, he and his wife, Jen, and they run a catering business, and they're like whipping stuff out to the tables. And so I carried some food out for them. And finally, when everybody was sitting eating, I grabbed a plate and made myself some food. It was awesome, super good food. And I don't know anybody there, and I hadn't spoken yet, so nobody really knows who I am. And I'm just kind of this weird looking dude in a cowboy hat, totally out of place. I wear a cowboy hat I have for years. It's just, if you see the picture on the book or you see the picture on the podcast, you'll see the cowboy hat. It's kind of just my style, whatever. So I find this table in the back of the room, and I mean back of the room, like not no tablecloth on it, like, you know, just away. Because I didn't, I don't know, I'm not that social in terms of popping into a table of people and going, "Hey, I'm Sid Garza-Hillman, what's your," you know. And so I just found a table, and I'm kind of sitting there eating, and sure enough, this woman like beelines it across the room and sits down next to me, and you know, I whatever, and I said hello, and I'm kind of eating, and I kind of just want to chill and eat. But then she starts in on the assumption that I'm not vegetarian or vegan, I guess because I'm wearing a cowboy hat, I don't even know. So she's like, "Are you vegetarian or vegan?" And I was like, "Well, yeah, I'm plant-based." Really? Yeah, I am. Are you going to the walk for, she says, "Are you going to the Walk for Elephants walk on Friday?" And I was like, "No, I'm not. I don't. Why not?" "Well, I don't live here. I live in Mendocino, so it's a 3.5-hour drive. I'm just very far away." "Oh, well, you should totally go. You know, elephants are," and she starts this whole thing about elephants, and I find myself starting to dislike elephants, which I think was a very interesting reaction. I love elephants, but because the way that she was sort of bringing this on to me, I started to dislike elephant. I'm like, I don't really want to walk for elephants. And now I, you know, I've calmed down and I totally would walk for elephants, and she probably has valid points, but man, is it about the messenger. So then she proceeds to tell me that I need to be drinking a gallon of water a day. A gallon, everybody, all humans, according to her, need to drink a gallon of water a day. Now, should I have engaged? Probably not. Not the best, but I'm sitting at a table. She sat down. I said, "Look, you know, I'm a certified nutritionist and I'm actually speaking here, but the thing is you and I'm 6'1", 165, you're 5'4", 215. I don't think that we have to drink the exact same amount of water per day." And she goes, "Well, like a half a gallon or a gallon." You know, it is just one of those things. And I was like, "Okay, yeah, maybe that's it." And I kind of like that was that. But it got me thinking, okay? So it got me thinking about balance and health. And I've said it in this podcast already. And that is that you can eat an extremely healthy diet and be really unhealthy. And you can do that because you're not in balance with your behaviors with food. You're not in balance with yourself. You're not in balance with your environment. And it does come down to balance. I think that the human species, the human being, your body, as you're listening to this, is adjusting and trying to find balance all the time. Sometimes it's with environment. Sometimes it's with the food you put in your body. So if you put food that is not nourishing, your body's going to try to hit a balance in spite of that. It's going to say, "Well, you gave me stuff that doesn't even resemble actual food that I can understand, like it's a Twinkie, but I'm going to figure out how to still move and basically function, and I'm going to try to hit that balance the best I can." The issue is that, excuse me, if you make it hard for your body to find that balance, it eventually will break down in some fashion, you know, whether that be any kind of disease or sickness. Balance is, in a way to look at balance, is that, you know, when the human body is in balance, it doesn't have to work super hard to maintain its level of health, and I would say happiness. So I always group health and happiness together. I don't think you can have one without the other. And so, you know, because you've seen plenty of people who are thin and not healthy and not happy and angry and all these kinds of things. It's complex and yet simple at the same time. When the human body is healthy, it is in balance by definition. It is at a balanced weight. It's not too thin. It's not too fat. It's got a good, nice little balance there. In the emotional realm, when you're in balance, you're not super stressed. You're not maybe super totally mellow where you're not dealing with anything. You've kind of maybe got this nice little balance going on. And you can tell when somebody is out of balance because let's say the stress level exceeds the level that they can handle, and there is a repercussion to that. It's not a good or bad thing, but there's a repercussion to that. There is an effect to being out of balance. There's an effect to eating bad food over time, or unhealthy food, I'll say, over time, such that the balance your body hits or tries to hit, it comes with a cost. With that said, well, I'll just say that's how I look at balance. And sometimes these events and sometimes the people that are drawn to a diet or a way of life, they may not approach it in a balanced way. And so I always advocate, first of all, for easing your way in. I'm all about small steps. I've said it before, and I will say it 1,000 times again, that it is small steps. Why? Because along that trek to small steps, you will find a place that feels good to you. But if you go dive right in and go just all the way bad out of hell right to there, there's no way to flesh out your balance. There's no way to find a place that works for you. If you want to run a marathon and you just train super hard every day and you don't ease your way in, you're going to get injured and you're not going to enjoy the process. You're not going to learn things about yourself. It's going to be all about whatever that is, like the time or something. Like it's going to be unbalanced. I know with my own life, and I always refer to myself because I'm a normal guy, and that's, I think, part of why I brought the SF Veg Fest, is that I'm a dad, and I work at a wellness center, and it's not even a hippie thing. I know that's kind of like sounds hippie, but let's say, so I'm also an indie rock musician. I made my living acting for 10 years. I'm just kind of a normal guy. I don't do anything out of, like, I'm not fringe. It sounds fringy, but I'm really not that fringy. So I eat well because it serves me and it serves my family and it makes me really happy and it allows me to be, I believe, a better dad and a better spouse and all the things that come with being healthy. And that's why I'm very passionate about teaching people how to become healthy, because the payoff is so huge in all the other aspects of life. But at the same time, I'm kind of a normal guy. And so when I speak to these groups, I'm feeling like, this is why it comes to coffee, like, why can't they serve coffee? Why do they have to have herbal tea? What is it about vegan or vegetarian or compassion or environmentalism? And they're all valid things, and I subscribe to them personally. I believe that the food choices you make do have repercussions in the world. That's a personal level. As a nutritionist, I don't get into that. I'm going to do it on the podcast because it's called Approaching the Natural. I brought up the point in the talk that it is not natural for us to destroy our own environment. I look at that as that's unnatural. I don't care if you live in the South and you have guns, or you live in the Northwest and you smell like patchouli. Like, it's just not natural and by the way, everybody in the Northwest smells like patchouli. Did you guys know? No, that's not true. That's really, I know like three people who don't smell like patchouli up here. But my point is that health and taking care of your world and acting in compassionate ways, why is that relegated to the fringe? What if we presented a thinking approach to life in a way that was accessible by everybody? And I tried to do that with the book. Whether I succeeded or failed, I have no idea. But my point of it was not to make eating well something that is interesting only to people who are interested in eating well. Do you see what I'm like? That's what it is. Like, the people that come to these events are already there. You're preaching to the choir. There was no, you know, lawyers there. There might have been lawyers, but, you know, like, not lawyer type kind of people, just like straight edge people. I was probably the most straight edge kind of person there. And I think that's a shame, because I think that you can do anything in your life, be anybody in your life, and still be healthy. Oh, and still benefit, more importantly, still benefit from that health. I don't care what your job is. I don't care what your family life is. I really don't. I think that you can benefit from being healthy. And I think that if we try to live the way that is good for us, then it's going to transmit to other people and it's going to affect other people. But it was just an observation I had being there. I thought, wow, this is disappointing, because some personalities, like that woman who was telling me about the elephants, are the very reason why most people won't try to be healthy. They'll be like, that's why I don't, because she's not healthy. She probably was vegan, and she obviously has a very caring heart about animals, and I totally appreciate that and I respect that, but she's not in balance. She's totally unhealthy in body, I could tell, and I believe that she's unhealthy in mind, and she is not living the example. And to make change in the world, I think Gandhi said this, and I'm not totally going to paraphrase, but if you don't I'm not even quoting, but the idea is this: if you don't get your house in order, don't expect anybody else's houses to be in order. And that's a tough pill to swallow, because I think what most people want to do is they get really angry at the way animals are. I interviewed Gene Bauer once. He heads up the farm sanctuary. And they rescue farm animals. And it's incredible what this guy's done. But I asked him, and when I interviewed him, I said, how do you get up in the morning knowing that, you know, you've done great things, but at the same time, there's things happening right now that you are fighting against, and a lot of it is happening. Like, how do you, sometimes you just feel like not getting out of bed. He goes, the way you get out of bed is you think about all the things that you've done and the things that you're doing. That's it. If you think about all the things that you haven't done yet or all the things that are going on, you will not get out of bed. And you have to consider those things. I think that you have to get your own house in order. People don't want to hear that. They want to get angry about the things going on in the world, and they want to walk around angry, and they could be liberal, and they could be conservative, and they're going to walk around the world angry. And that anger, while it's not exactly misplaced, because there's a lot of horrible stuff going on in the world and with the environment and everything else, but at the same time, the better they can take care of themselves, the more change they can affect. It's something I strive for myself. I live my example. That's first and foremost, that I live my example. When I step in front of a podium like I did yesterday, when I step in front of a class and I'm teaching, it feels good that I am healthy, that I have energy, that I'm raising a family, and that I'm eating this way. I'm not leaving that talk and going to get a Big Mac and going, well, I'm just trying to teach it, but I don't really care, you know, that I'm not going to do it. You know, like, I don't think there's I try to minimize the disconnect. Okay. I have found a balance that works for me and my right now. And that could change. By the way, life changes and then you have to rebalance, but it always comes down to how you're thinking. I think about balance all the time. I think about how much I work versus how much I spend with my family. I think about how much healthy food I eat versus how much unhealthy food I eat. And I'm considering those things in my day-to-day action, and I've been doing it for so long that it's not like I exert that much energy to do it, but it's just sort of there. So I didn't eat well yesterday, for instance. I was in San Francisco, and I was in the city, and I live in a small little town, so when I go in the city, it's kind of cool to eat out and everything. I didn't eat anything spectacularly unhealthy, but it was heavy. I had French fries. Totally love French fries. Do I have French fries every week? No. Do I have them every day? No. Do I have them every month? No. Had them yesterday. And I had them and I totally enjoyed them. It was a conscious decision because I was in town and it was a special thing. And I made that allowance for myself and totally, full-heartedly enjoyed it. No conflict there. Didn't feel guilty afterwards. I was like, this is the time to do this. Today, got back and had a great day, ate great, totally enjoyed it. Felt like eating well because I was feeling a little weighed down yesterday from eating not so well. And so I had a really good day. So it is achieving balance, and it's understanding that the human body is constantly in an effort to find that balance. Your body is doing that right now. If you're on a treadmill or a stair stepper or a trampoline, or you're sitting on a couch, or in a car, your body is balancing. It is trying to achieve a balance, and it is trying to establish a level of health, doing the best it can given the circumstances. So, if you flooded, like I said, flooded it with unhealthy food, it's going to have to work really hard to do that. If you're exercising too little, your body's going to achieve the best balance it can. If you're exercising too much, it's going to work the best way it can. But if the extremes hit like that, you could break down. I mean, it could break down. Too much exercise, there's a breakdown. Too little exercise, there's a breakdown. Too much unhealthy food, possibly even too much healthy food, although I don't really know. So I'm getting into kind of this thing of like the conventional wisdom of, you know, everything in moderation. But then again, I sort of feel like in the food realm, the body does exist better on, you know, really healthy food. But here's the balance part. Because we live in the modern world, food and eating really healthy all the time can actually be stressful for people. And I think that's what I was kind of getting at with regards to the event that I went to. I think that you can be doing something that ends up causing you more stress and breakdown, in which case you got to kind of balance it a little bit. And I found my own balance. I think if I lived in the wild, I wouldn't have an issue because everything I eat would be healthy by virtue, and there'd be no struggle there, and I would just be happy to get food and be able to sustain and live and do all those things. So I guess it's, for me, it all comes down to balance. It's how much exercise makes you happy. If you're training too hard for a race and you get injured, then obviously you put, and speaking of which, that's, I've done that. So I'm totally speaking from experience. I pushed myself too hard and I ruptured my Achilles, didn't tear it, but I ruptured my Achilles tendon earlier this year, actually. And, you know, healed up and ran the race, but I kind of had to recalibrate. It was my body going, yeah, really? You're going to push this hard? You're going to drink four cups of coffee a day and not get a lot of sleep and then go on an interval run? Well, guess what? Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to take my Achilles and I'm just going to kind of rip it a little bit. That way you have to walk with a cane and look like a 94-year-old man for 4 days. And I was like, thank you, got the message. And I recalibrated and I dropped off the coffee and I started getting more rest and I eased back in. And then I thought, you know what? I'm a dad. I got 3 kids, my wife, we're working. Maybe I don't need to win the half marathon or even achieve any kind of level. Maybe I should just enjoy the race and run it the best I can. And maybe that's okay. And it was. And I totally had an awesome time and I healed up perfectly. And now I'm training for a marathon and having a really good time with it. And yeah, I'm trying to improve my running, but I'm trying to learn. I'm trying to learn about myself in that way. I do have the tendency to push things. And my immediate thing was like, I've never run a marathon, but maybe I could break this time or that time. And I thought, whoa, here we go again. And the reason why I can say, oh, here we go again, is because it's something I think about. And I urge people through this podcast and through my own clients is, at the end of the day, that's what I'm teaching people to do, is to think about it. I want you to think about your health. And sometimes that's all you can do. Sometimes your life's so crazy that being healthy is not a luxury you have because you're traveling and you're super busy and you're doing the best you can. I think there's little steps you can take, even in those circumstances, that have a huge payoff. Like just moving your body and walking down a hotel hallway, if that's what you can do for 2 minutes, that those are things that make a huge difference. And I think keeping that on your radar, waking up each day and understanding the worth of taking care of yourself, and that finding balance in your life is part of the human species, and making it easier for your body to find balance is part of the human species, and being with your family and tribe, maybe not too much because you don't have enough time by yourself, but maybe you don't want to spend too much time by yourself because there's, you know, and there's that balance there too. And that's so life enriching to spend sometimes on your own and sometimes with family, but to be aware that there is a balance so that when you aren't feeling well, you know why. You go, wow, I'm feeling weighed down. I haven't been eating. That's where I was. I was like, okay, why am I getting injured here? What's going on? I'm fatigued. Ah, look at me. I'm drinking more coffee than I even thought I was. I wasn't even paying attention to it because I was busy and I was, you know, and so I was able to recalibrate. Sometimes that's easier said than done, but it's something to think about. So the last thing I want to touch on besides balance, it was balance and will. And there's a poem by William Carlos Williams that I'm just going to read literally the last line of. And that is this: we will it so, and so it is, past all accident. And sometimes when I work with clients, the idea of, you know, how hard this is comes up. And I so much would love to say to them, oh no, it's totally easy. Like this is, you know, you just do this and all your problems are solved. It takes will. It takes will in a way that it wouldn't if we lived in the wild. Again, we'd be moving because we would need to move, so the body, the movement would be settled there. We'd be connected to the earth because we'd be on ground. We'd be on old ground. We'd be in sunlight. We'd be in fresh air. We'd be finding food that was healthy because there wouldn't be anything refined. There would be no conflict. We would want to do one thing and one thing only, and that is survive and live, and ideally find some sort of joy in that, however that might look. Maybe we're with somebody, who knows? But in the modern world, we have to be aware. To be healthy takes effort. It takes effort in the same way that a successful marriage takes effort. To eat healthy food takes effort. And it's not a bad thing. And that's what I want to get to. Like, it's just, it's so fulfilling and it's such a huge payoff for yourself And as a result of a payoff for yourself, and I'm going to get into selfishness probably in the next episode, because I think that is a totally natural state of being for the human species, is to be supremely selfish. But I'll go into what that means, because I have a different philosophy of that whole thing. But the idea that it's a struggle or that it takes effort is somehow a turnoff for some people. And I don't want to sell you a false bill of goods to say, oh no, it's totally easy. It's totally easy to be healthy. It's not. I mean, it's not. It gets easier the longer you do it. I mean, it's easier for me to be healthy now than it did when I was starting out and having to completely change my eating habits, or becoming a runner and having to go from not being a runner to being a runner. It takes its effort, and you're not used to it, and it feels kind of wonky, and it's like uncomfortable, and so you're trying your best to, you know, to keep on it, and it's so easy to burn out, and it's so easy to go like, this is not worth it. Good night. You know, I'm not doing this. And so therefore, I mean, there's my reason again to ease your way in at such a slow pace that you think it's almost ridiculous. But I think that's a way that sticks, because I think it just gets you thinking about it. But it does take will. And unfortunately, you know, some people, it takes getting to a point in their lives where they're so supremely unhappy or unhealthy that that's when they're finally motivated. But for everybody listening to this today, I'm not here to sell you a quick fix. Ain't gonna happen. I don't have a quick fix. I don't have a diet even. My book is about including foods that are understandable to the human body and trying to take steps to include more of those foods. It's not about taking food away necessarily, depending on, you know, I mean, there's some people who you need to, because they're already at that level where they've got cancer or whatever, and I'm going to advise them to eat really healthy food all the time. But for most people, it's adding things in. It's not going off your couch and running a marathon. It's easing your way into movement. It's understanding first and foremost that movement is totally natural, and then making an effort to do that. It's connecting to the nature, to the natural world. Not by, you know, all of a sudden becoming totally new agey and hippie. And if that's your boat, float it, man. I got no problems with that. I'm just saying that's almost an inauthentic, it would be inauthentic for most people to take that on. Just like a diet is totally inauthentic. It's fake. It's not real. Following a diet to a T is not real. It's not authentic. It's not you. You are following someone else's plan. And unless you make it your own, you will never find balance in that activity. You will never find balance in that activity. And I want to just drive that point home again. It is about finding your own balance. It's about finding your own way of living that makes you happy and truly happy. Not happy Big Mac for 5 minutes happy, but happy long-term in a way that you deal with other people, in the way that you approach life with joy and fun, and recapturing that childlike wonder and artistic creativity. Kids draw, they love to draw. Like, what happens to us? Why do we lose that? Well, we lose that because we start thinking about how good or bad we are at art. And I talk about in the book that I think, you know, drawing and creativity, whatever form it is, music, of course, from music, it was me, you know, that was music, my thing, but it can be whatever kind of art, dance or whatever. Do it in private if you're embarrassed. But we get this thing where, like, we're embarrassed and therefore we don't draw. If you ask me, why don't you draw? Oh, because I'm a horrible drawer. What difference does that make? I'm not asking you to sell your drawings or that there's some expectation that you're going to be a rich and famous artist. And that doesn't necessarily mean a payoff. It's not like those people are inevitably happy just because they make a living at their art. Ultimately, it's about how we experience life. We will it so, and so it is past all accident. That's a statement that we will it. We have to will it so. We have to start from a place that we say we want to recapture our health. We want to recapture our happiness. And that we understand that it's something that is in our power, no matter what the politics tell us or the organization of our society tells us, that it is in our power, that nobody can take away our personal freedom and what we think and how we approach life. Nobody can take that away, but it's a will. And if we let society take over our health and happiness, we will not achieve it. It has to be something we earn, and it has to be something we work for. But it's important to understand that there is joy in the working for it. There is joy in the working for it. There is joy in working for a marriage to make it successful. It takes a struggle, and it takes, you know, communication that sometimes you don't want to communicate and you're angry and you do it anyway. and that is the stuff. That's the stuff. That's the real thing. That's what makes human beings wonderful and able to live with joy and all the things that we do in the world. So I'm going to leave you with that. And I hope everybody is healthy and happy and taking whatever small steps you do. And it may seem so crazy and stupid to just eat one apple slice. But if that's what you can do tomorrow, then do that and be proud of yourself that you made a real effort, a profound effort, and that you used your will and you used your mind to nourish yourself, to take care of yourself. Because guess what? It is 100% natural and right and normal for you to take care of yourself in a real way. And the payoff is huge. So I'll leave you with that. And I thank you so much. And join me for the next episode, which I'm trying to do these about once every week or week and a half. And that's it. You can find me at transitioningtohealth.net, on Twitter at Sid Garza Hillman, or at the Mendocino Center for Living Well, which is livingwellmendocino.com. I'm still waiting on final confirmation from Matt Frazier, the No Meat Athlete, but it looks like the October 28th and October 30th dates are standing. And I think one is in Oakland and one is San Francisco, but I will have more information on that in an episode to come. So I wish everybody well. Thanks.
And I'm tired of being observing and roaming. I can't keep on running and running out. I'm tired of pressing down, pressing down. Pressing down. I wanted what you think.